Okay. I'm joined in studio this morning by one of our regular guests, Father Brian Shortall from the Capuchins. Good morning, Brian.
Good morning, Brenda.
Thanks a million for coming to see us again.
Lovely to be here. Great to be back in County Kildare. Always lovely to be in Kildare. Always lovely to be associated with Kildare. Maybe not so much when Dublin play Kildare, but however.
Okay, we'll park the football. Let's talk about Lent. We're at the start of another season of Lent. Yeah. What's it all about?
I love what you say on Twitter, Lent is what you do, and in fact I believe it is something that should be something that we do. I really believe that when we celebrate Lent, I really believe we should try to make a difference in people's lives, even in the smallest ways. I think can't do Lent, you know, by ourselves. I mean, we're very much people in relationship, and if we can kind of make a difference in the lives of somebody else, vis-a-vis how we help them, how we make them smile, how we reach out to them, you know, that's a Lent. And I'm going to rhyme now, but that's a Lent well spent, you know.
Yeah, well, talking there about how you reach out and help people, I mean, you do that all year round in the Capuchin Day Centre, don't you?
Well, we do, actually, and we've got an awful lot of publicity, and it has really been on the map in the last, certainly over Christmas and in the last while, on radio, on TV, on the net and so on. And, you know, it's just one of our, what would you call it, responses. It just happens to be a very real and a very tangible response to trying to help those who aren't as fortunate as us, you know. The thing about the Capuchin Day Centre for Homeless, it's a really happy story. It's not just because of Brother Kevin or because of Alan or because of Teresa or the staff and the team there. It is about them, but it's also about the people who get involved. The volunteers. It's also about the people who ring up or who call in and they want to give money or they want to give clothes or they want to give, you know, valuable assistance. And so we don't do formal fundraising. We don't be going on radios and asking for or so on. We don't have a fundraising organ. We really rely on the people, and the people are, you know, totally part of that story. Lent is something, I think I picked up on what you said there. Lent is something that happens in a way, you know, every spring, but in fact it's an all year round thing, isn't it? I mean, if we don't hopefully I can change a little bit for the better from Ash Wednesday to Easter Sunday, but it doesn't stop at Easter Sunday. I hope that I'll continue that process of change in my own life.
How do you observe Lent?
That's a good question. I really...
So have you given up anything for Lent?
No, I haven't.
Why not?
Shame on me. I haven't really. I used to give up things. I remember as a young lad, and I'm probably a better person. I probably was a better person then than I am now. But as a young lad, I gave up sugar in tea and sugar in coffee. Brenda, I couldn't drink tea or coffee with sugar.
You could give them up, though. Give the two of them up. I've given up tea and coffee for Lent.
Oh, yeah. Oh, sorry. Yeah. But if I went back to tea, sugar and tea, maybe that might be a sacrifice. Because it'd be poisoned, I would. I like to try to be conscious of cutting down. I like to try to be conscious of maybe, like, for instance, I love ice cream. I love all sorts of different ice cream. And 6 days out of seven in the fryer, we get ice cream for dessert. So I won't take a dessert during Lent. Now, that's more because I'm on a bit of a diet at the moment, and I've tried to kind of cut down on my intake of food. I love food, but it's also because, you know, it's maybe just a small contribution in my life. And the other thing, of course, I think I said this before, is that as Archbishop Sheen, a great Emmy Award winning broadcaster from the 50s and 60s in America, he said, "You diet for the sake of the body, but you fast for the sake of the soul." I like that, actually. I have tried that before, a little bit, fasting. I think it moves mountains. And some people would say, fasting, I don't know. But obviously, it's up to everybody.
But I suppose there's more to Lent. Oh, yeah. I suppose that the strands of Lent are fasting Almsgiving is the other one, and the idea of prayer. But I suppose charity, it's not just about putting money. I mean, we had Sean Farrell on from Throat Crut last Sunday. But, you know, doing something or taking something up or doing something for charity is more, you know, people don't have as much money to give. So maybe it's doing, you know, taking up something or an act of charity maybe.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, like charity is more than putting a few bob in a box or troker. Troker is always the organisation, the charity synonymous with Lent, I think. And it's more than putting money in a troker box. I stand up sometimes, you know, coming up to Christmas, and I say, you know, the St. Vincent de Paul Society are really looking for our support coming up to Christmas time. But St. Vincent de Paul, I say, we see them all the time. And it's not just at Christmas. Their work is ongoing. So charity is ongoing. Mm. You know, and like charity is something that, you know, we can use, if you like, to make somebody's life or some family's lives or some organization's lives a little bit better.
And do you think that Lent is still very much relevant for people today? I mean, there are, you know from being on Twitter that a lot of the stuff that a lot of the faiths, you know, the churches, not just the Catholic Church, does is can be dismissed and in a very cynical way on particularly on Twitter and elsewhere. But I was delighted to see Lent and Ash Wednesday trending on Twitter last week.
Hashtag
was a good one. Do you think that Lent is relevant? I mean, even for people who maybe don't observe strictly or who maybe don't go to church or that, do you think there's something in Lent for everybody?
I think there's something beautiful in Lent for everybody. I really do. I think Lent is a very powerful force for us Christians. You know, it is a great vehicle to make, as I said, a huge difference. A, in my life, and B, in others' lives. It's very healthy. Lent's a very healthy thing. I think self-denial, I suppose the world out there perhaps isn't sort of so into self-denial. It's, you know, when you sort of see the myriad of different kinds of things we can kind of buy or we can get or we can kind of accrue. You know, I think self-denial is a very powerful vehicle. And Lent is, I mean, it's a tailor-made, you know, season for us. Our Muslim brothers and sisters, I mean, I'm always edified and always was edified when I was in schools, when I was school chaplain. 1,000 years ago now at this stage. But I was always edified by the Muslim students in the school and their observance of Ramadan.
Yeah.
And like, I remember one particular girl talking about Ramadan, you know, on the school radio station, actually. And she spoke about it being a magnificent season. And her eyes lit up when she spoke about it. And I could tell straight away, Brenda, you know, it's real for her. And I believe that Lent, you know, I mean, okay, the practice of the faith and so on, you know, isn't sort of top shelf anymore. But do you know the amount of people that get involved, especially young people, and the things they do? I mean, a girl called in yesterday. Her mum was singing at a mass in our place, and she called in with her mum, and she had cooked some food in home ec class. She was from one of the Dublin secondary schools, and she gave that to us to give to the homeless.
That's extraordinary.
You know, little things like that, and I mean, you know, it was just her little contribution.
And was that specifically because Lent was on her mind, or
it was a lovely story,
isn't it?
Ah, yeah, you know, and like I was chuffed, and I said thanks very very much to her, and I said, do you know, the Brother Kevin, I said, I'd be delighted, and you know that will go to good use. And one of the wags said, if it gets that far, in other words, the friars might take it to the kitchen, and that'll be the end of that. You know,
nice bit of ice cream on it.
Oh, listen, yeah, you know,
no, but I mean, it's, as I said, it's always good to kind of to chat, and it's great to have. I was writing something there recently, and I said, you know, Twitter isn't always the easiest of places to wear your faith on your sleeve, but I think maybe even more so during Lent, we need to push ourselves to kind of keep pushing out there.
Yeah, and I'm always conscious when I'm on Twitter or when I'm on Facebook, and, you know, sometimes I wonder maybe, you know, is it, you know, these things can kind of take up a lot of time and all, but they can. But they are great vehicles, again, for evangelization. Like, for instance, as you say, the whole thing about Twitter and Facebook is it is a place to... you know, to try and spread the good news. I mean, I started a blog. I'm going to plug my blog now.
Oh, please
It's called Tired of Bad News. Tired of all the bad news. Tired of all the bad news. There's so much bad news out there. And it's, you know, it's almost become an industry in ways, you know. And I just kind of get tired of all the bad news. And looking at what some people put up on Twitter, you know, it's so life-giving. And, you know, you're right to be conscious of Twitter is a place where people can sound off, but it can be an opportunity for people like you, people like me, to kind of get the good news out there. Like, for example, I put up a thing on the blog and I averted it to it on Twitter. You know, the menu for Lent. Like you go to a restaurant, you look at a menu and you look at all the starters and the main course and you kind of go, oh, look at that. That duck looks great, but I think the steak is fabulous tonight. And so I sort of said, yeah, menu for Lent. Now, I sort of lifted this from one of our friars, Danjo. Because Danjo has this menu for Lent, which he has every year. And it's basically fast from and feast on, right? It's kind of, now, you can stick in your own.
Whatever. Yeah.
So, for example, fast from words, you know, that are negative, feast on words that are positive.
Brilliant.
Fast from, you know, swearing, feast on words that are life-giving. Fast from negativity, feast on positivity, and so on.
Yeah.
And I mean, I know, like, it is important to kind of put across to the young people the importance of maybe giving up sweets or giving up something and making small sacrifices. But in tandem with that, Brenda, I think it's important also to let that spill over into our attitudes and the way we, as I said, interact with people. Because as one of our other friars, late great friars, Father Godfrey, you know, he used to joke about Johnny Murphy. Like, Johnny Murphy could be anybody. Johnny Murphy went to Mass. He never missed a Sunday. Johnny Murphy went to hell for what he did on Monday. I know it's That's a kind brilliant. Of a thing, but, you know, in the sense that, look, you could be wonderful.
It doesn't stop at the church door.
But it doesn't stop at the church door. We have to let it influence all our lives and therefore spill over to everybody else's
and
lives.
And become
as well.
What we receive, isn't that what
absolutely.
They say?
Yeah.
Give us the title of the blog again.
Tired of all the bad news.
Okay, well, we'll put a link up to that. We have to leave it there. It's been a pleasure to chat as
always. It's
always
lovely. Thanks very much.
And we'll talk to you again soon.